Bill Flores joins us from D.C. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Congratulations on being renominated. Your thoughts on the elections last night?
Well, I'm glad they're behind us. I guess we have a few runoffs that have to settle things, but I know that most of our listeners would probably be glad to see a whole lot less and hear a whole lot less of political advertising on the media these for the next few weeks.
We like the money, but yeah, we'll move on from there. But anything else that popped up as far as the on the state level or anything that catches your attention?
Well, it looks like the incumbents that were being challenged by some folks, the incumbents did pretty well. We had one guy, though, Ralph Hall up in northeast Texas, who is facing a pretty difficult runoff as he moves forward. But other than that, I think the results came out about the way most folks expected.
Yeah, we don't notice that. His opponent's a U.S. attorney, and they've run against each other before. But Hall's 90 years old, and I'm sure that really doesn't necessarily work as a positive for him.
No, I don't think it's really helpful at this point. I mean, Ralph is in good health, and I think he takes care of his constituents pretty well. But I think at the end of the day, you have to ask the question, how long should you serve the people of your district?
Mm-hmm. Well, the president rolled out his budget, and it's monopoly money. It's hard for us to understand it, but we're getting up close to a $4 billion budget that rolled out yesterday. What did you find in there that you didn't like, and is there anything in there that you could like?
Well, there was very little that anybody in District 17 would like. It's essentially a redo of the let's go take tax revenues from one group of people and then let's redistribute it in the form of a spending plan to the president's special interest. And we saw how few jobs were created from the last stimulus plan, and actually the cost per job is somewhere in the neighborhood over $2 million per job created. And that, you know, that just doesn't work in the real world of economics. Mm-hmm. And I see no reason that this would be any better. You know, it raises taxes. It also it causes defense spending to be overshadowed by the spending on our national debt, by the interest spending on our national debt. That's very problematic. And it just, you know, it doesn't do anything to fix all the policy issues that under this president have pushed more people out of the middle class and down into poverty and caused the labor force participation rate to be the lowest since Jimmy Carter. I just don't see anything that works in this thing. You know, I could stand somebody to try to correct me on this, but I just don't see anything that really fits what we need to do in District 17 or in the state of Texas or in the country as a whole.
Sure. Bill Flores joining us from D.C., today's the first time we got a chance to ask you on the air about something that happened last week, and that was a representative from Michigan. His name is Dave Camp, and folks wouldn't necessarily know who he is, but he is chairman of a pretty powerful committee, and he really kind of unveiled a comprehensive tax reform bill, first one we've seen in almost 30 years, and
right.
not one Republican stood up on the House floor to talk about this. Now, you and I talk from time to time, and you say such and such is not a perfect bill. Well, okay, I'm sure Dave Camp's is not a perfect bill, but why did you or no other Republican stand up and speak about a significant tax reform that this guy rolled out?
Well, there were a couple reasons for that. One is that his proposal for tax reform was put together solely by the Ways and Means staff and by him. Nobody else from the Ways and Means Committee had any input on it, so it's sort of I don't want to call it a backroom deal. I think that's too pejorative, but it was not one that's done in the sunlight. Now, the Ways and Means Committee had lots of hearings on tax reform over the last several months, and they learned a lot, but I would have expected the Ways and Means Committee to work together to come up with what a collaborative proposal would be for tax reform. Dave, on the other hand, didn't do that. Our leadership is not behind this. And lots of people from both sides of the aisles can find problems with it. So here's what I would say. Number one is, I think most of America recognizes that our tax system's broken. I think number two is that most of America believes that we need to reform our tax system, our revenue code system. And the third thing I'd say is the good thing the camp plan does is to start the discussion. Now, I could never vote for it the way it is today, but I don't want to kill it at this point. What I'd like to do is see it become, something that calls us to have a good faith discussion about what tax reform should look like so that we can get the economy growing. I think one of the good things that comes out of this is that we've gotten folks to agree that we can use dynamic scoring on tax reform so that instead of using static scoring now where everything has to be revenue neutral, you can say when you reform the tax code in such a way, in a good way, it causes tax revenues to go or economic growth to go up, and therefore tax revenues come up. So you can cause net deficit reduction.
Yeah, well,
so that's the good thing.
Well, I think I do. I mean, I understand what you're saying, a backroom deal, and that doesn't sound good. But you know, if it ends up being basically a piece of legislation, as I understand it, you basically have three tax amounts right there, percentages that everybody would fall under. It's a much simplified form, and yes, it's not perfect, but for no Republican to stand up and say that this is a good idea, I mean, Camp didn't even speak on behalf of his own bill, bothers me tremendously that, you know, the way we've always done things keeps us from getting some good legislation moved forward.
Well, I have to agree with you, Scott. I didn't like the way this thing was rolled out. I don't think that Dave should have done it this particular way. I would have preferred that the full committee be involved with this. But unfortunately, that's not. I don't run the Ways and Means Committee, our leadership actually encouraged Dave to go through what's called regular order, but he elected to go this way, mm-hmm. And I can see the reasons that he wanted to do it. One is, in an election year, anytime you put forth something that is beneficial to the economy as a whole, but gores a particular group's ox, the other side's going to make a political, it's going to run a political ad against you for that because you gored that group's ox, or their special interest provision. And so I think because of that, he elected to go ahead and go on his own.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. today. And earlier this week, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, said he was going to run again. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that was probably the right thing for him to do. I mean, if you're Speaker of the House, I don't think you would say, I'm not going to run again, or you wouldn't signal what your plan is, because if you do, then everybody writes you off as a lame duck. Mm-hmm. And so, what you would do is you announce that you're going to run through the end of the tape, and then later on after you get reelected, you could decide, okay, am I really going to do it, or am I going to then resign early and let somebody else take the spot? So,
sure.
I don't think he had an alternative but to say that he was going to run again.
Finally, anything that's going to happen this week or before we talk again?
Well, we've got a couple of interesting bills today. One is to suspend the penalty under the individual mandate of Obamacare. I'll be curious to see how many votes we get on this thing. I would expect to see lots of Democratic votes on it. And then the other thing is a bill called the Electricity Security and Affordability Act, which will help rein in the way the EPA is trying to regulate coal-fired generating plants. I don't know if our listeners realize this, but we got really close to an electric crisis in the state of Texas on Monday morning and Tuesday morning, mm-hmm. because of high energy demand and a couple of plants that were offline, that dropped offline in January. And ERCOT was sending out notices about having really thin margins because of the cold, windy weather that we had. This bill would help alleviate that problem. If we don't get the EPA in line, if we had another coal stamp like this and the EPA's rules were in effect and they go into effect next year, you'll see blackouts in Texas. This is critically important stuff.
Yeah, we do need to probably talk about that some more next week, again, because so many people moving to Texas, the demand, and again, I mean, this was some cold weather, but hopefully we've got a little underpinning there to help us when we have those times when we have to use some extra energy. Bill
right,
Flores,
I hope so.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's it.
Okay, very good. Bill Flores joins us. You can hear it on most every Wednesday. You can hear his entire interview on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Great to be with you on News Talk 1620. I'd ask our listeners to continue prayer for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
Certainly, thanks.